In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Have you ever said Merry Christmas to somebody on December 26th? How about January 1st, or even January 5th, a day like yesterday, the 12th day of Christmas? You get the strangest looks sometimes when you do such a thing. Much as everything else, though, the world moves on rapidly from one thing to the next, leaving it in the dust. Christmas is over, the world says. It's time to move on to observing the next holiday. Well, the church, of course, observes the true 12 days of Christmas, not the ones that Chick-fil-A does when they give away free stuff for the 12 days before Christmas. The actual 12 days of Christmas, the rest of the world is done sometime after the last plate from Christmas dinner is washed and dried and put back in the cabinet. The tree goes to the curb. The lights in the house are switched off. Probably not taken down yet, because we won't do that until we get around to it. Even in the church, though, the mood is somewhat subdued. The pews are filled on Christmas Eve, but even on Christmas Day, that number's almost cut in half. Today, the poinsettias have found their way into some of your homes and other places. The Advent wreath no longer stands there next to the lectern. Maybe Christmas is over here, too. But yet, here we are today, talking about gifts. Three of them, namely, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts fit for a king, even given to the King of Kings, Jesus Christ our Lord. As a matter of fact, many cultures throughout the world choose this day as the day to exchange gifts rather than Christmas Day for that reason. Think of all the money you could save on after Christmas sales, right? But the chief gift given at Christmas and revealed to the world at Epiphany is, of course, the gift of God himself in the flesh, who has come to dwell among us. The fact that the Magi are not Jews, but rather Gentiles, shows that this Jesus, this Savior, is not just born for the Jews, but for all people, for the whole world. Had God not revealed himself to the world at Epiphany, he would have remained only the King of the Jews, and nothing more. But he is more. In Epiphany, God's gift to the world is unwrapped and shines forth in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. In the weeks to come, we'll see Jesus revealed again and again as the one sent by God from above to bring salvation to all people. But when you receive a gift, you tell the giver, "Thank you." At least that's the polite thing to do. And then you proceed to play with the gift, to wear the gift, to eat the gift, depending on what it is. And so likewise, we now unwrap the gifts this morning that come to us in Jesus. God says to you, "Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." The light of the star led the wise men to the light that they would no longer walk in the darkness of their cultural gods, their household gods, their gods of science and knowledge, but to walk in the light, in Jesus Christ. And by the light of the gospel, you too are led to walk in the light. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, these wise men, these magi, called wise because they possessed much worldly knowledge and perhaps some knowledge of the promises of God, went to Jerusalem. Now, how did they get any knowledge, or how would they come across any knowledge of the true God? Well, you'll recall that the Israelites spent 7 years of exile in Babylon, where these magi came from. And so there is the possibility that they had at least some type of rudimentary knowledge of who this God of the Israelites is. Worship of the true God survived the exile, along with the remnant of the Jews who would return to their homeland once the exile was complete. But going to Jerusalem shows that they're not that wise. They went to the wrong place. Now, they certainly would have gathered if they had known the scriptures inside and outside, backwards and forwards. They would have known, just as they did when they asked Herod, "Where is this king of the Jews? We've come to worship him." They would have known they should have been in Bethlehem. But going to Jerusalem was a reasonable idea in general. Jerusalem was the capital city of the Jews. It's where the royal family would have lived and where one would even expect to find a baby king. But Jerusalem, lo and behold, was not the place where God chose to unwrap the gift of salvation to the world. Instead, once the intelligence of the wise men had been subjected to the word of God, the star led the men to Bethlehem, the place where the word made flesh, full of grace and truth, had come into the world. The star, once illuminated by the scriptures, led them to the star. You see, the gifts of intelligence, learning, those are gifts of God. But it is in his grace, in Jesus, that God gives himself in the real work of his fatherly heart and mind. It is this grace of God that draws worshipers to himself. For by his grace, God creates faith in us, faith that worships him by receiving his gifts of grace in Jesus. That was the first epiphany. That was where the gods of human intelligence, science, and whatever man-made god you can think of died at the birth of Christ. But this morning, we are more than just spectators who see the wise men come to worship the true living God. This morning, the call of God's grace reaches out to you and to millions of believers throughout the world. The gospel of Jesus, his glory, sung by the angels at Christmas, is preached to you today. His call is to come and worship him. You are invited by your gracious God to see Jesus in his body. This altar is his manger. Not a feeding trough for oxen or sheep, but a feeding trough for poor, lost sinners troubled by the darkness of this world. And so the heart of God is openly displayed in Jesus. He is the promised descendant of David. He was crucified in weakness and shame, but now he's been raised in power and preached to the whole world. Jesus was crucified to join the world and himself to God as a newly created people. The secret is not that God no longer considers sin to be sin, or that he has no wrath against sin and sinners. No, the secret is that in the body of Jesus, God has carried the sin to death. In the blood of Jesus, God has given us eternal life for all, everywhere, who believe in his Son. In his gospel, God is both declaring and doing his work of the forgiveness of sin. He cuts us from our sin and binds to Jesus by faith. By the gospel, God lifts us from darkness and death into the light of his Son, our Savior, and creates the new one humanity called the church. And so the church is called, gathered, enlightened, and preserved in the faith to carry the gospel to the whole world. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Get up, listen to the word of God, who was made flesh and has made his dwelling among us. Let the word dispel the darkness of the gods manufactured by the human spirit. Live trusting that your gracious God will be your life and your good, your righteousness and your hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.